Ladies and gentlemen, this is PCWB. I am your co-host, Mike Knight.
Hey, what's going on? I am your second co-host, Samir, and we got with us...
What's going on, everybody? Samir Vakil here. We're still in this in-between. This is not season two yet, right? We're kind of in this liminal third space.
Yeah.
Between season one and season two. But we've been hanging out. Us three spent a good amount of time together this summer.
Yeah.
We're on the road next week.
Yeah, we are.
Yes, sir.
But the reason for the podcast tonight, we've called it an emergency podcast to address the news of Charlie Kirk's passing. And being that this is professor and a comedian walking to a bar, we're on a college campus, and this event happened on a college campus. So at this point, I mean, really nobody has all the facts. There's a lot of speculation going around. But even more so than that, there's a lot of emotions. A lot of initial reactions, and we're here trying to make sense of it amongst ourselves. We have a unique perspective of Samir, a comedian, but also, you know, as heritage outside of America, we have Samir, a professor.
Yeah.
And we have me just barely scraping by, tell jokes from time to time, and trying to piece this together. So at this point, it's somewhere around 24 hours. We're all being influenced by our feeds.
That's true.
Yeah.
And how are we feeling about what we've heard so far? What we've seen, let alone heard. That's what's crazy, is that you see it.
Yeah.
And that causes some visceral reactions for sure.
Right. Oh, okay. So right off the gate, Samir brought this up early when we were just kind of setting up. Like, we're coming at this reflecting. Everyone's been reflecting, right? I've gotten text messages from friends who I haven't talked to for months. My dad sent me stuff on social media. He never does that. So I think we're not coming here with any news that you all haven't heard. We're reflecting. I think at the end of this session, I think I'll know how I feel about this more than I do right now.
Yeah.
But I'll just start by, it's just kind of odd. It's so nice outside.
It is.
It's really nice. It's a beautiful day.
It is.
And it's also 9/11. Yeah, and so it's just weird. There's a lot of weird. Oh, I'm not trying to be
funny. No. I almost said shout out for 9/11, but like, it's not a celebration.
Yeah. Right.
Don't forget.
Right? It's not a celebration. But it's just, there's something odd about that. I'm just trying to be in the moment, sure. Right? And yeah. As I'm pulling in, I picked up my kids, I dropped them off at home. It's a beautiful day, and it's a beautiful month in Chicago in September.
Yeah.
So it's odd, but I don't know, how am I feeling? This shit is wild. And it does strike me as very relevant to what we're doing at PCWB. Yeah.
Sure.
Because this is at the heart of what we're doing is dialogue, right? And we're trying to say, hey, crazy things happen, especially things that are impacting students like the ones at this campus. I'm excited to get back in the classroom in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And things that affect not just students, but the staff at Northwestern. And
season one, there were protests on campus.
And this is...
Where, Northwestern?
Here.
Right? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's been a place where, right, where this idea of disagreeing with each other is so central to the whole conversation that's happening about higher education.
Yeah.
Right? And so now, and I watched the video, I think, twice. The first time just shot the shit out of me. And I'm like, let me just once more just to make sure. And then I think that's it. I couldn't stomach it. It was pretty gruesome.
I felt
I mean, like, you know, first thing I think we could all agree on is no matter where you're at the political, is it on mic?
Yeah, it should be. Yeah.
Okay, beautiful. So no matter where you are in the political aisle, is that a human being died yesterday, right? So just, you know, looking at it from that angle is horrific to see that, and let alone also it's film, right? And so that's the sad reality of it.
Can I get your thoughts on just the statement that you just made? Because for us in this room, it sounds like we agree that a human being lost their life yesterday.
Yes.
But I don't think we have the universal opinion. I don't think everybody's looking at it as a human being lost their life. There are some people that feel some kind of way in a positive direction.
Yeah.
That might not even necessarily in their minds label them as human.
Yeah.
Because they're not they're not really. So from what I see, there's people whose opinions lead me to believe they might not necessarily see him as equally human to them based on
on
what he
or beliefs. The way I'm seeing it is a little bit of the inverse, that he's been such a active force in dehumanizing so many populations, you know, in such overtly racist ways. And especially on the issue of guns, being so adamant and that it's kind of like, what do you want me to do now? Shed tea? Like, there's that sentiment of so I get that sentiment. I understand that sentiment, but it's interesting how Samir, your starting point, like to start with the humanity of it, shouldn't be controversial.
No,
and it's, I don't think it, at least I think it's not. I mean, like seeing that, like, ooh, it's hot. It's, you see it. He's what, 31 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
Did he have kids?
From the reports I'm hearing, it's like a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old or something. I think they were there. And
really?
Yeah. So look at it from that angle. From the angle of like this guy's a father. He got he has a family, right? But don't get me wrong, he is everything that you mentioned. Right? He served to dehumanize certain population of the country and continue to divide the nation. But at the end of it, that if we as a human being we're not looking at it from the lens of this is still a human being, then we become no different, essentially, than than him, right? So it's still it's a sad tragedy that happened, and then once that's out the way, then we can discuss his political views. And also, like you mentioned, 9/11, which is it's also interesting because the day after 9/11, I remember I wasn't here, but I did kept up the news and be like, America's struggling, right?
How old were you?
I was like 6 or 7 at the time.
Wow,
right. But the day after 9/11, you know what I've noticed was that America unified.
Oh, yeah.
They were so unified, the political belief aside, we are attacked as a nation. So what can we do? The unification was undeniable. This is a time where the country should be unified that, hey, we got to get our shit together. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't be doing this where we're shooting people that we disagree with. You know what I mean? That should be the heart of the issue. And then we can talk about, of course, politics. This guy was an asshole. When it comes to politics, boy, this guy is, yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, I'm sure he did not like Mike Conn. That's for sure. Like, black, immigrant, Muslim, he would have a heart attack if he sees me walking towards him. You know what I mean?
Sure. And to your point, so you were too young to really feel the vibes of 9/11 and that time period shortly after. Superiors to Iranian. Just sort of vibes. He had to hide. He had to stay in the picture. But the vibes after 9/11, and correct me if I'm
wrong. All my best friends became comedians immediately. All my friends.
They patted him down just when he walked through the apartment door. But it was like Christmas Eve on Mali. You know what I mean? Everybody, the vibe was just very unified. But if I can, and please, I want y'all's thoughts on this. I'm speaking on behalf of comedy, not comedians, because comedians are individuals. And we've definitely seen that not every comedian is on the same page. Yeah. But in my mind, when it comes to comedy, period, comedy serves as the 300 Spartans to free speech.
Yeah.
And although I don't agree with his messaging, right? He is a branch off the same tree that essentially we're on, that you get to go speak into a microphone, what's on your mind.
Yeah.
It just so happens when I get on stage, if I say something that doesn't vibe with the people, the strangers in the room, they just don't laugh.
Yeah.
I definitely don't want to say the wrong thing and bomb on stage. The next thing you know, I'm slumped over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So to see somebody who was using their words, whether that those words are insightful, whether those words are cruel to a group of people, what have you, it is a right in America. Because I don't even know if you have the right to complete freedom of speech in England. And that's
true.
That's one of the countries that started Western civilization and your quote unquote freedoms. Mm. So for his words to be retaliated with actual violence, if I'm waving the flag of comedy, I'm not for that.
Right. Right. Yes, I think we all are on the same page. And I'm glad that we started there. Actually, the way that both of you guys formulated that as an opening reminds me of the way Zohan Mamdani, right? The nomination for New York for mayor of New York City.
Mm.
He led with that same sort of like, let's name it, right? No one should be getting gunned down. His views are, you know, as horrendous as they've been, as racist as they've been, like let's you know, yes, that's wrong. Mm. That's hard to see. Mm. And it's a sad moment for America. Mm. Let me say that as a patriotic statement, right? Like in a country that's supposed to be about free speech and dialogue, and especially on a college campus, to see someone, it just speaks to like, wow, we're really at a negative place when it comes to like our dialogue. Mm. Having said that, right, and this is where Mike's like, be careful with your words.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, like, if I'm being very, very honest, I'm not losing sleep tonight.
Yeah.
I'm not losing sleep. Like, and it's not to say that I don't think it's horrendous or it's because of his political values. Like, the amount of human loss that we've been surrounded by over the last several years in particular, with the genocides and the massacres that we're seeing, it's hard to say now I'm gonna you know, peel off some of my sympathy, and I'm gonna see it and I'm saying, man, that's wrong. But I'm not necessarily, I don't have it in me to, I'm not grieving it.
I'm just
being honest. I'm not grieving it, right?
Sure.
It doesn't mean, I mean, even when I heard right now that his children may have been, that's very sad. That does affect me emotionally. But I think the other thing that's happening that kind of complicates this discussion a little bit is this: people are being tested a bit. People are involved. It's almost the same way when Palestinian folks are tested around, do you condemn Hamas or not? It's sort of like, are you sad or not? And so that almost is a setup question, because people are gonna then in a default to like, look, this person has been against everything that I exist for in my whole family. Now you're gonna ask me if I'm grieving the loss. You're promoting this genocide, and now you're gonna ask me to grieve this kind of thing. I really, there's something in me that cringes when the dialogue gets to that point.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a couple things that I learned. Let me just share a couple things that happened. I heard, and I haven't read the whole article, but a dean at a Tennessee university was fired, probably today, over social media posts saying he had zero sympathy for the conservative activist Charlie Kirk.
An MSNBC reporter just got fired. I saw him on my feet for his comments, and I saw his comments. I was like, that's what he got fired for?
What do you remember what they were?
It was basically, I think paraphrasing, it was hateful thoughts lead to hateful speech, lead to hateful reactions or something like that. Hateful acts.
Yeah.
And apparently they fired him. Which, I mean, that's a bit of a stretch. He must have been like smell funny or something. Didn't wash right all the time.
Right. I mean, even Trump went on air, and I mean, the gist of what he said was right. He's kind of just continue to just add fuel to what's already the divide that's already existing.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I mean, us sharing our opinion, I understand, but as the president of the country, as a leader, you shouldn't even speak upon this until you get all the facts straight. We haven't even caught the shooter yet.
Mm.
This guy's already blaming the left.
Oh, yeah.
It's out of hand and this and that. And I'm like, yo, you're the president. Like, hold up on the top until you get the facts straight before you go national TV, until the whole world and blame one side of the country. Right, and demonize them and make them the villain, the rival. Well, you know what I mean? And so that's why I'm like, that's even... But like going back to Europe,
and there's going
to
be immediate consequences. I'm sorry, I look at my text messages. Someone sent me a headline about HBCUs have already received threats.
Look at that.
Right. Yeah. So like there's going to, so that's the thing that we're in. We're in this moment.
Right.
Well, what?
I know.
It's like there's a retaliation, right?
That's like the police knocking on my door because somebody got popped in California. Like, bro, what you over here for?
Right. But I think it's such a moment where leadership is so necessary, right?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we have a mentally unstable person at the helm of this country who's going to exploit this.
Yeah.
He's not going to lean into the human.
No, he's not
going to lean into the human. And I'm not going in the direction of conspiracy theories. Like, whatever they tell us, okay. Like, they're gonna find someone, but it's gonna, we've already seen it from Trump's statements, or we're gonna see much more of that from all the conservative outlets. They're gonna use this moment.
Yeah.
To fuel even more division. So I condemn it. It's a horrible act, the same way, you know, but it's like, yeah, but how often or is there room in the conversation to condemn it?
Yeah.
But to also say, hey, look, let's analyze the whole situation politically and say the level of hatred that exists in the system in general, and that's spewing from someone like Kurt in particular.
Yeah.
Am I surprised? Yeah. I'm not surprised, right? And that's just me. Now, is that any different, though, from after 9/11, right? As soon as people started, the first day or two or three, it was pure unity, hand-holding. But then you get into day four or five, week one, finger, month one.
Yep.
But even beyond the finger pointing analysis, right? Mm-hmm. And so one can say that, you know, that we grieve the loss of the victims of 9/11 and U.S. foreign policy had a lot to do with leading up to. I'm supporting what happened on 9/11. That shouldn't even be obvious, right? But can we also analyze the situation from a historical lens, from a political lens, the same way we should do here in a country that has? Mm-hmm. So, if I'm analyzing what happened, you have hatred in this country, you have division, you have an authoritarian regime, you have guns, you have a shit ton of guns. You add all those things into the mix, and then you have a situation on college campuses where people can't have conversations, and you have this guy who's known to stoke resentment and fear.
Mm-hmm.
And this horrible thing happens, right? And I'm not celebrating it, not for a freaking moment, but it's,
I'll even add to this, because me and Mike were talking about this right before the pod started, was like part of our idea of what this is, it was like we were kind of almost, we weren't celebrating, then we were like, let's hope that the shooter is not immigrant or black or any of that. Let's just hope the shooter is just a good old white person. Because if that's the case, we're going to, in 2-3 days, we're going to move on. We're going to label as what it is. And then we're going to move on.
Tragedy.
Right. And that's the tragedy of America, is that if the shooter is from any minority of the groups, then we label all those minorities the same. Right. But if it's our white brother, then we're going to be like, hey, let's just dissect what he was doing, is he mentally ill, what pills he was taking, every single dynamic, without necessarily blaming anyone around his circle. But if it's a minority, forget the individual person, we're going to label the entire group of people with the same brush.
Absolutely. Right? Tragically, it's being overshadowed now. Tragically, a couple of days before this happened, there was an unfortunate incident on a train or a bus where a young Ukrainian woman was tragically stabbed by an American brother with lax, right? Mm-hmm. And that was already starting to paint a narrative, and that gave the reflex that I have. It's been passed down generationally. It's my pop. I talked to my pop earlier, and he was like, "I just hope he ain't black." And it's not a thing. It's something that we've done our entire lives. When we found out about the DC snipers, we were like, ooh.
Right.
But that being said, what I love and respect the most about y'all two as my brothers, right, is that we have similar mind states, but different thoughts.
Yep.
And we're approaching this different roads, heading to the same destination. And when it comes, because last night I was talking to you and I said this, and then I ended up calling you today, and I said this to you over the phone, is, and I'm not lying, I really hope, because you're in a prominent position here at this university, and this is still so hot off the press, that the wrong set of words from you is, and that's what I'm the most scared of, is that if speech gets attacked, your thoughts gets attacked.
Yeah.
Your ability to say what's on your mind. And I'm not saying be disrespectful. I'm just saying, even saying, hey, he's a human being. He shouldn't have been do-do-do-do-do. There's some people that's going to go out there and run with that narrative and be like, you're a woo-woo-woo, and you're, hey, you're a something supporter. You're a fad, da-da-da-da-da. You're a... And it's like, bro, I commend you for having a position here and then still being willing to come on and say, because it is a tightrope in today's times.
Yeah.
And we're on video. We're going to release this and somebody can watch this and be, so I salute you because that just happens to be you're standing at the forefront of something that I hold dear to my heart, which is the ability to speak. And it just so happened to cost this guy's life, which I don't agree with, just based on the freedom of speech, which I respect the most about
that. Yeah, and just the sacredness of life and all that. No, I appreciate that. But I would say that that's actually what I've learned from the world of comedy and of you two in particular, is that you guys both go to hard topics. You don't shy away from them. But if you do it from, and this is why I'm not worried about this video getting out, because I feel like if I'm coming from a place of honesty, but from a place of humanity, I'm not coming from a negative place. I'm coming from a positive place, and from a place of like, I'm trying to figure this out together. How do we, like, you started off, how are we feeling about this? Everyone who's watching this, I know you guys are feeling the same way, because I'm getting text messages from friends and family members. Everyone is, right? We're all getting contacted, and that just means we're all trying to reach out and connect. How are we feeling? The people who I trust the least are the ones who have the most fully formed opinions. Ooh. Right away. To me, I'm like, yes, we have our initial, and then we have to keep thinking and being in spaces to connect and talk and modify. But I think the centering of humanity and the willingness, everyone could see that we're all being vulnerable in this moment. Mm-hmm. We're taking a risk. We're talking about, about an issue that's difficult. That everyone has a feeling about. Do I agree that we need to lower the flag to mark it? No, I don't. I'm not going to go that far. Do I think that this was an atrocious, horrendous thing that I don't like to see? It's an ugly act of murder.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah. So here we are. But we're in an ugly moment in this country.
And let's be honest. Out of 100, there's 20 over there. You're never going to change their mind. There's 20 over there. You're never going to change their mind. And the 20, they can't stand each other. The 60 in the middle, that, in my opinion, stay open-minded, because everybody, no matter what their perspective is, on either side of the extreme, they do believe they're open-minded. And they feel that their open-mindedness is being challenged or even threatened. Mm-hmm. So you can't even tell the 20 on this side, that side, hey, you know you're one of the 20 on the extreme side. They're like, no, I'm not.
Right.
You are.
Right.
Like, what are you even saying right now, bro? You sound real suspect.
Yeah.
But for the 60 in the middle that do truly in their heart feel that they're open-minded, then I hope these messages get to you. Because at the end of the day, Samir, I think you started it off perfectly with it being humanity at the end of the day. We saw something heinous.
Yep.
And we're disconnected because seeing something heinous pixelated on your phone, it's easier to turn it off. Once the bad thing happens, you turn it off and it's over. You just see the highlights. Things have to happen after that. When Medgar Evers, one of the civil rights leaders that tragically doesn't get talked about all that much, he was receiving death threats for 2 weeks straight on his home, to his family's house where his kids live. He was gunned down in his driveway. Now, if that was 2025, somebody might have got that on video. It would have been crazy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here's the part that tragically it was in his book, but it rarely gets talked about. His wife had to go into the parking lot or into their driveway and clean up the remains of him.
Mm-hmm.
The police didn't do that. The ambulance didn't do that. So when it was all said and done, she was either going to sit there with a gigantic, the pool, the last testament of her husband's humanity. She had to go there on her hands and knees on the concrete.
Wow.
And wipe it up. That's the part. There's aftermath. For us, this is a story. Mm-hmm. For us, this is the momentum of a thing that happened. We have a platform, so we're talking about it.
Wow.
For a very close group, this is a devastating moment that's going to define their life moving on.
Yeah.
And then for circles outside of that, not necessarily at ground zero, this is a life-altering thing.
Yeah, I mean, for the wife, you know, of course, for the two kids, this is a life.
It's 24 hours later. She probably hasn't even cried yet. Yeah, it probably isn't even real yet.
So, for those of us who are shaping the kind of general energy and mood and conversation, my hope is that things don't, that this doesn't become a moment where it's a slippery slope and we're going down a dark. So
for sure,
that's the hope, but we got to kind of keep our eye on the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I guess for my two cents, it's like, it's exactly what you said, because this film now, and that's the thing, is now we live in this time where something so horrible could be filmed to the world, and right away everyone's like clicking, like, hey, I think the first video that came out, whoever filmed it, right away was like 30 million, right away, and it's, hey, like, share,
subscribe. How does that impact human psychology to your earlier questions?
Because we are neutralized, not neutralizing the word I'm looking for, but we are normalizing this behavior now. Like, I mean, like, there are, like, death this past 2-3 years have been crazy, right? From Gaza, what's happening in a daily basis, from what's happening in Sudan, right? I go to my feed, and the first video that pops up is some Sudanese getting killed, right? I mean, this is just like, this is normal. You see this, right?
Mm.
And then now I go, and then you see videos of Charlie Cook, and this happened. I'm like, this is outrageous. It used to be at a time where this was not normal, where like, well, we hear about it, we read about it, but these are very sensitive information and sensitive videos are not released, which is, it's just the right way to go about. Like, don't release this for the protection of the family, the loved one, and everyone else. But now it's like, here it is. You make your call of it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is not the, I think, the path society should go on, because it's gonna be very scary.
Yeah. This is a totally unacceptable transition.
Yeah.
But I already knew what time, pick up food for the kids. But on a lighter note, we miss you guys.
You won't believe what's coming.
We have some things coming. Just a little. We're going. Should we share with the?
You want to spill a little tea?
Just a little.
You want a little teaser?
Just a little.
All right, go ahead. I'm not gonna say it.
I can't.
Taking Samir to the Pacific Ocean his first time.
California. Pacific Ocean.
Next week.
Yeah.
That is LA.
Wait, are we gonna record while we out there?
As a matter of fact, we have our first episode of season 2 with none other than Dr. Sophia Noble.
Say,
many of the listeners know who that is. If you don't know, just look it up and then be impressed. We're excited to talk about all things algorithms, AI, technology, society, politics, and comedy.
Yeah.
So stay tuned, and we're a bunch of other things cooking while we're out there.
Man.
I'm excited.
Okay. We already have a whole another episode. What a big deal. We haven't even put it out.
That's right. Yeah. A couple of them, actually.
Yeah. There's too many chickens to have an hatch. Just understand, we got y'all.
We're looking forward to having you guys back in season 2 fully. This is our setup. This is our new space.
Yeah.
Shout out the new space.
Yeah.
I know. It's amazing.
We're doing things, so.
Oh, that's right. This could be the first episode of the new space.
Really?
I think that's true. Because the other ones that we recorded
all everywhere else.
This one's going to go out first.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Because we did it with
Josh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this will be the first one that people see in the new studio. So
yes,
you're right.
Got y'all covered. All right. I've been your co-host on PCWB. My name is Mike Knight.
And I've been Samir and Wall, and you want to end it?
Hey, guys. See you soon. I'm Sapir Bakil, your co-host. Guys, tune in, like, subscribe, share, do all the things.
We
appreciate you guys.
All right. Love you guys. Peace.